Hey everyone, thank you so much for joining us. This is a special dual broadcast today. We're live at zoomintobooks.com with our friends from Headline Books, a great publisher and longtime ally of Allen Media Strategies. And we're also broadcasting our Big Time Talker podcast on all the podcast platforms. You know, we have new episodes that drop every Tuesday at Spotify, Apple, iTunes, iHeart, wherever you get your podcast. If you like what you hear, tell a friend and spread the word and subscribe for those new episodes. Today, it's an interesting show. I'm really excited about this. I might even say I am psyched to do this conversation because we're talking with a psychic medium who's zooming in all the way from Amsterdam in the Netherlands. Barbara Bandel is the author of My Most Memorable Psychic Readings and Personal Stories. Barbara, thanks for being here.
Thank you for having me.
There are going to be lots of questions that will likely come in on our Facebook chat today. If you have a question that you would like us to ask Barbara and see if she can sort of reach around the globe and give you some answers, I'm sure she would be happy to do that. A large part of your work, as I've read about you, is that you as a psychic medium have a connection to the other side, that you're able to speak with folks who have passed on.
Yes.
We're doing this electronically. I'm in the United States. You're in the Netherlands. If somebody sends a chat message and says, hey, I want to speak to a deceased relative, how does that actually work? And what do you need to do to make that happen?
I need a photo. I need a photo, and then I can connect, and then I get all sort of information about that person. So I do need a photo.
Okay. So if you would like to find out more about what Barbara does and you want to send a photo over, Barbara's website I have here is barbarathemedium.com, barbarathemedium.com. If I could, I want to sort of roll back to the beginning because it's a fascinating subject. How old were you when you knew that you had this sixth sense that and that everyone didn't have it?
Yes, I was 7. And I walked home from school with my best friend. And we saw a man, and he tried to lure us in his car. So we told our parents, and they called the police. And the next day, we had to explain how he looked, what he did, what he said. And at the end, I also had to look at photos. And my friend was in another room. So we were separated.
Right.
And I didn't know that the minute I look at a photo and I concentrate, I get a lot of information. And that happened when the police officer said, can you look at these photos to see if you can recognize this man? So I got all sorts of information, and it scared the living daylights out of me because I had never felt such dark energy with people because they were child molesters and pedophiles. So I never knew something like that existed. So that was really scary.
That's a tough way to learn that you have this kind of gift. What do you know what happened with this guy who tried to lure you into his car? Was he taken away to jail, and was he a bad guy?
He was a bad guy, but he had a wig on and a weird cap and huge sunglasses. So I don't think he's ever caught. I hope he is, but I don't think so.
I've read before that everyone has this gift, but
yes,
most of us don't develop it. So you discovered that you had this at 7. Well, you know, what do? Do you tell your parents, or do you think that you're crazy? What, you know, what was the next thing that happened along in the timeline?
Well, I asked my friend when I was 7 if she saw or felt anything. And I looked up to her and she said, no, I didn't feel or see anything. So I thought, I'm crazy, because young children, they always blame themselves.
Right.
And somehow deep inside, I felt that I it was right. I felt what I felt and I saw what I saw. But at the same time, I got scared to that something was wrong with my brain. So I became quiet and silent, and my parents did notice, but I didn't tell anyone. And I had a lot of nightmares and trouble sleeping, panic attacks, hyperventilating. And that lasted quite a while.
Can you turn it off, or is it always there?
It's always there. I always say I am my work. When I'm not working, and I have to tell someone something, I will get the information, no matter where I am, in the plane or in a bar, doesn't matter.
Is it a cacophony of lots of different voices all at the same time? Is it one?
It's one.
It's one.
Yeah, I made the decision that I always want my guides to be the filter, because there are spirits who they don't have good intentions. So I want my guides to be the filter. So it's always my guides telling me things.
Are there things that the rest of us can do to develop that gift? Or could you tell us how develop your gift?
Well, we're all born with that. But when we learn how to use our common sense, and our ego grows when we're about 6, 7, 8, then these gifts go into the background. But you can meditate. You can go on a course to develop your intuition, and then it will all come back. It's never gone. We forget how to use it. That's all.
Barbara Bandella is our guest today on the Big Time Talker podcast and Zoom into Books. Her book is called My Most Memorable Psychic Readings and Personal Stories. It's available at bookstores everywhere, Amazon.com. And you can also pick it up at her website, BarbaraTheMedium.com. And there's a lot of really cool, interesting stuff on the website. So you're going through school. You get to high school. You graduate from high school. At what point do you decide this is how I'm going to make a living? And what kinds of jobs did you do before this became your calling?
I tried to have normal jobs. I was a secretary. I worked for Apple in the Netherlands.
Okay.
And we had to, when the new Apple Macintosh came out, we had to carry it with two people. That's how old I am. Can't believe it.
But no judgment, Barbara, no judgment.
No. Okay. Thank you so much. So I tried to have normal jobs, but everywhere I went, I had to give messages, and I loved to do that. I could really feel my heart was into it. And so I gave readings for free in the beginning, and then friends from friends from friends wanted a reading too. And then I decided, now I'm going to make it my profession, like for real, and let people pay me, because I was so busy right away with readings.
I would imagine it would impact your life in that way, when people find out that you can do this, they're going to be drawn to that. But I also would imagine it may make it somewhat difficult to have normal relationships, whether it's romantic relationships or mm-hmm. relationship with your supervisor at work, when you have this thing that everyone else doesn't have. Did you find that it was difficult for some relationships?
Absolutely. Friendships, some female friends, I found out they only wanted to be with me because I could give free advice, free readings all the time. And in love relationships, some people, they back off right away when I say what I do, because they think I can see everything. Right. So I guess they had a lot to hide.
Do you ever get it wrong? Do you ever, get an intuition, as you call it, or a sixth sense about something and you're totally off base? Does that ever happen?
No, the difficulty is time. That's something that's hard to pin down.
What do you mean by time?
Well, people want to know, what will happen between now and a week, or when will I get a baby, in which month, what day. Sometimes I do get that, but I can be off because time doesn't exist in the universe. So I decided the day I die, I'm going to bring a calendar and again, everything to give psychics time and the exact day and time, because people want to know it, but that's hard to pinpoint.
When I was skimming through your book, you've got a story in there. I think it's the first chapter that really hit home for me. You know, like most Americans of a certain age, I remember exactly where I was on September 11th, 2001. And you tell a really touching story about a firefighter who was killed at the World Trade Center. And you thought he was a fireman from the Netherlands, which is where you're based in Amsterdam.
Yes.
Tell us about that story. That's an amazing thing that happened to you, and it really touched me.
It still touches me too. I am used that spirits visit me before someone comes for a reading or before someone calls me. I'm used to that. So this firefighter, he was standing in front of me, and he was smiling, and then he went away. So I thought that someone would come for a reading about him. But the months went by and nobody came. And at some point, after many months, he started to talk to me. He said his first name. And, you know, he had something about him that was so genuine and trustworthy. And he was very charismatic also. So I thought, wow. He also started to talk about that he died with several colleagues. And you must understand that spirits talk the language of the medium. That comes in handy when I have like a spirit from China.
Right.
Yeah. So he was
so
talking
he spoke
Dutch.
To you in Dutch.
In Dutch, yes. They talk the language of the medium.
Okay.
So he was talking that he died with several colleagues. And I was thinking, when was there a big fire in the Netherlands that killed several firefighters? I didn't know. And then after it was a couple of years, he revealed to me that he was in one of the Twin Towers on 9/11. And I was in complete shock. Here I go again. I'm still touched by it. I was so shocked because I didn't connect the dots. I thought he was Dutch, and he has an English name, but there are more people in Holland who have an English first name.
Right.
So, and then he asked me, from my point of view, to do the impossible, to contact his wife. And then he was gone. And I thought, how am I supposed to do this? I only have his first name.
Sure.
And then my best friend, she's diseased. She was a journalist. And I told her the story, and she said, do you think you would recognize him if you saw a photo of him? And I said, absolutely. So she found a website with all the diseased firefighters. And she gave me the link. And I was so nervous to click on the link and look at all these friendly faces. So I scrolled down, I couldn't find him, and I scrolled page after page, all these faces. And then suddenly I found him. I found him, and he looked exactly the same as when he showed himself to me. And I saw his complete name. I finally knew his name.
Right.
So with his last name, I could locate his wife.
You had to be expensive to do that, though, right? I mean, that's a very, obviously, very sensitive thing. She didn't come to you for a reading. You're halfway around the globe. I'm sure
it
she's
was
crackpots before that tried to do all sorts of things. So
exactly, exactly. I was so scared. So in the beginning, I said, "No, I'm not going to do this. I was scared to hurt her," and it took me so long. And then my friend said, but what if he's not visiting you all these years for nothing. So I gathered all my courage and I asked my guides, oh, please, please tell me that I'm not hurting her. And I didn't know what to say. What was I supposed to write on Facebook? Hi, I'm Barbara from the Netherlands. You don't know me, but I have contact with your husband for many years. Right. But finally, I wrote her a very short email and she didn't respond. And I thought, uh-oh. And it took her a year to respond. And I was so happy she responded. And so she wanted to know what her husband said to me. And I kept all my notes, everything he told me, so I could finally give my notes to her. And she said, she answered me very quickly. And she said, there was another psychic in California. And she gave me the exact information you gave me. And she told me other stories, and they are very private. So I kind of want to protect her.
I understand.
But they were mind-blowing. I thought, what? So she was very happy that I wrote to her. And I think about them every week. And especially now in the last week with September 11, I think it's so difficult because, well, I'm in the Netherlands. It's not even my country, but right. We all know where we were, and he's such a kind man. And what really touched my heart was that he traveled around the world to find psychics to contact his wife. That's true love. That's true love. It really exists. I have to take a sip of water.
It's an amazing story. Barbara Bandel is our guest today. Her book is My Most Memorable Psychic Readings and Personal Stories. And you can find her online at BarbaraTheMedium.com. BarbaraTheMedium.com. If you have a question and you're watching us live now during the live broadcast, you can always jump into our Facebook chat and send it in, and we'll be happy to ask Barbara those questions. She did note that if you'd like someone, you'd like her to contact or see if she has information on a deceased relative, you'll need to send a photo to her, and you can do that at BarbaraTheMedium.com. Here's a question from a viewer and listener. Barbara, when you do psychic readings, have you ever encountered demons or angels?
Angels, yes. Demons, no. Not during a psychic reading. I did encounter a demon once in a house, but never during a reading. I asked my guides, keep anything away from me, especially during readings, because the information can be so off. Keep everything away from me that can be harmful.
When you do these, and you've, I'm sure, done hundreds, thousands of readings at this point.
Yeah.
Are there still oh wow moments where the information that you get when you see someone from the other side is so specific that it's an oh wow moment for you where you're just blown away by the specificity of that information, or the person you're doing the reading for just can't believe that it's right on the nose to that point?
Oh, yes. It happens, well, every reading, actually. When a deceased loved one comes through and they say, congratulations with your baby, things like that. And I don't know that my client just had a baby. Things like that. I mean, that just blows me away. And that's why I love this work.
Sure. What about when it's information that they don't want to know necessarily? If someone comes to you and I don't know, maybe they say, is my husband or wife faithful? And, or, did this happen to a deceased relative or whatever that bad information is? What do you do with that? How do you deal with that?
I'm always honest. And that means that sometimes people aren't happy with the answer.
Right.
But having said that, the guides always come with an explanation why things are happening. Why is your partner unfaithful? Why did you meet? Why did this happen to you? So you get like a really thorough, deep explanation why things are happening. And that can help. That can help when you get news you really don't want. But sometimes people get angry. But I have to say what I hear. I'm not going to say things you want to hear because that's no good. I want clients for life, not clients who are happy. And then it turns out that I was completely wrong.
Right, right, right. I can wrap my head around the sixth sense piece of what you do as a psychic medium, but it's a different, I guess, skill set, this intuition that you have about the living. So can you explain sort of the different two things and how maybe they are completely different, or maybe there's a link between the two?
Yeah, they're intertwined. And so you mean my work life, and is that what you mean?
Well, so I understand that you do talk to the deceased, or they talk to you more specifically. But you also have an intuition about things that have nothing to do with folks who have passed to the other side, you know?
Yeah. And when I doubt my intuition, I always ask my guides, and they confirm or they say, no, that was your fear or your ego. So I always check.
So they help guide you. So someone comes to you and says, you know, am I going to have success in my career in the next 5 years? Or will I get said time stamps are tough, but, you know, do you see this career working out for me? You consult with the spirit guides to give you insight into that. Is that right?
Yes. And also my readings go pretty deep on a soul level. So when someone, for instance, asks me, I want to start a new business, will I be successful? And then they will say yes, or maybe no, but they will explain what that person can do best. Or they're also very specific about people around us who are like snakes or dishonest. Mm-hmm. And so they give warnings, especially in businesses, or get a new accountant because he's not honest. It goes pretty deep. And I love the complexity of the readings. It's not complex, but it's like really thorough. And I always recommend people to record it because it's a lot of information.
If you'd like to find out more about what Barbara does, you can visit her website, barbarathemedium.com. And her book called My Most Memorable Psychic Readings and Personal Stories is available on the website, also at amazon.com worldwide. And it's a Reader's Favorite Award winner. So congratulations on that.
Thank you so much.
Filled with some interesting stories. Barbara Bandel, our guest on the Big Time Talker podcast, brought to you by friends at speakermatch.com. Is there a story that maybe sticks out to you from all the years you've been doing this as the most unusual reading that you've done?
The firefighter is number one.
Okay.
And what comes to mind right now is a man who is diseased, and his daughter wanted to have contact with him. And he was in his 80s when he died, and he was very funny. Diseased people they have such a great sense of humor.
Really?
Really, yes. And they like to because readings can be really heavy, but when they make a joke, it lightens the mood. But he told me that when he was younger, he was learning to become a doctor, and he had to assist and to learn from an operation. And his mentor was a very, well, dominant man. This diseased man, he saw that his mentor made a mistake during the operation. And the young woman died on the operation table. And he felt so guilty all his life that he didn't say to his mentor, I think you made a mistake. Maybe you can look at it. But he was too scared to say anything. So
Right.
he was, and so his daughter didn't mention this at all. He started telling me this story. And he told me that shortly after he died, this young woman, this diseased woman, came to visit him in heaven. And she said, "I feel so sorry that you had this burden on your shoulders, your whole life. It wasn't meant to be that I would live. It was meant to be that I would die during the operation, on the operation table." And so his daughter started to cry, because when he was on his sickbed and he was so scared to die because he thought God would be angry with him because he didn't say anything during the operation. And he had a priest coming. He wanted the priest to reassure him that he would go to heaven. That's how scared he was for not mentioning the mentor's mistake. So his daughter was delighted that he met this young woman and everything's fine now. I find that amazing.
That amazing.
Yeah.
Do you, these guides that you talk about, these spirit guides, is that the term that I hear a lot is guardian angels? I have a guardian angel looking over me. Is that the same thing? Is that similar, you think?
Yeah, that's similar. You can say spirit guides or angels, whatever you want. It's
you
the same.
In the story that you just told, that the gentleman was nervous he wouldn't go to heaven. What is your concept of heaven and hell? Are those, you know, real literal places? That tell me what insight you've gotten from your spirit guides about heaven and hell.
There is no hell. Having said that, when we die, we get to see our entire life. How did we make people feel? Did we hurt people? Did we make people happy? And there is something called karma. So everything you did, you have to receive as well. So I was thinking immediately about, let's say, Hitler. And
mm-hmm.
When he had to relive his life, when he died, that must have taken him a long time to feel how these 6 million Jews, how he made every one of them feel. So I think he's got quite some karma. So there isn't a hell, but you have to pay. And it can also be in a good way when you're a good person and you are aware of what you're doing, that comes back to you too. So you can create your own hell by the way you live.
Can you mentioned a well-known, really bad guy. Can you go and find a specific person, or do they need to present themselves to you? You know, if I'm a big fan of the Three Stooges and you know, I wanted you to go find Mo, Larry, or Curly, could you find a specific person, or does it work that way?
No, yes. And when I cannot find that person, I always have my guides, because they have contact with them, because they're in heaven too. So they can give me information about that person. Yes, that's possible.
Wow. Interesting. Same concept. Can you block really bad spirits from coming to you? You talked about you know, the scary thing that happened to you when you were a little girl. Do your spirit guides keep the bad guys away?
During readings, yes. But during my personal life, no, because I have my lessons to learn as well. So sometimes I do meet people I wish I didn't, but live and learn.
Wow. Here's another question that's come in. From our Facebook chat for Zoom Into Books, and we're simulcasting today live on Facebook Live with Zoom Into Books, as well as our Big Time Talker podcast. Here's something, I don't even know what this means, but I bet you do. They want to know, Barbara, do you have experience with astral projection? Astral projection, any idea what that is?
I know about astral travel. We do that every night, every one of us, we leave our bodies when we sleep. That's astral travel. But astral projection, no, I've never heard of that.
Dreams. Are dreams different than the visions that you receive?
Sometimes people have like psychic dreams. Mm-hmm. But often it's our subconscious who tries to work through the events we live through when we're awake. So it differs.
Do you remember your dreams?
Hardly. I once had an app on my phone that records when you start to talk in your sleep.
Right.
And I heard saying myself weird things. So I know I'm dreaming, but I can't remember them. Can you?
I have an app like that on my phone, Barbara, but it records a chainsaw. There's someone with a chainsaw in the room every night when I sleep, or at least that's what my snoring sounds like.
Oh, really?
Barbara Bandem is our guest today. Her book is called My Most Memorable Psychic Readings and Personal Stories. She's a psychic medium based in Amsterdam, the Netherlands. But you do something that's pretty interesting to me, because I didn't think that it worked this way. You do telephone readings or readings on apps like WhatsApp for people from all over the planet. So you don't actually have to touch them, be in the same room with them. So how does that work electronically?
Well, it's the photo. So I get someone's photo and then I tune in. And then my guides, who are always on the right side of my body, they tell me, and then I repeat what they say. So I literally have the easiest job on earth. I just repeat what they say. But I do need a photo. It's like bringing the connection in. And then everything happens.
So if they want to speak to a deceased person, it's a photo of the deceased person.
Yes.
If they want information about themselves and something that's going to happen to them in the future, then it would be a photo of that person. Is that right?
Yeah, or their voice. A voice, but with a deceased person, that's impossible, of course.
Right.
But
right,
with
right.
With the living, a voice is also enough. Their voice.
I have to ask you, with all due respect, how you handle skeptics, people that say, this is nonsense, it's all made up. Yeah. You know, the famous magician, Harry Houdini, spent, you know, most of his fortune and a great amount of his time back in the 1920s trying to disprove psychic mediums, and other folks have down through the years. What do you say to folks that are skeptical about your gift?
I'm old now. So now I say nothing, but when I was younger, I started to defend myself, but there's no use in defending because everyone's entitled to believe what they want.
Right.
So the minute I figured this out, that it's their opinion and they have they're entitled to their opinion, I could let it go. It doesn't bother me anymore.
Yeah, it doesn't bother you at all.
No, not anymore. And I think that's the nice part of growing older.
Good for you. Good for you. You just let that roll right off your back. Okay.
Yeah.
You mentioned when you had this connection with the firefighter from 9/11, that you had a best friend who was a journalist who helped you, you know, line up a link to all the photos of the firefighters. And you went on to mention that your best friend, the journalist, is now deceased. Have you had conversations with that best friend now that he or she has passed over?
I did. And she passed over a year and a half ago. She was very young. Her son, he committed suicide. And she died a year and a half later. And when her son committed suicide, I could talk to him so easily. And I used to talk with my friend every Thursday for hours. And he was such an intelligent young man. He was 30 when he committed suicide. He just couldn't deal with the world. And so he gave so much information about COVID, that was coming, about the war in the Ukraine. And he was very into politics. And he even talked about New Zealand, something with an earthquake, and that happened a couple of months later. So, and then she, his mother, became ill, and she was very afraid to die. She said, "What if I end up in a gray zone? What if I don't see my son again?" And that broke my heart. So I said, "How can I help you? Maybe I can walk with you as far as possible to guide you when you're dying." And so she discussed with her doctor that she was suffering a lot. She had cancer in a really aggressive way. And so in the Netherlands, we can, what's the English word? I think it's, can you help me with that one? When you ask for the doctor to help you die.
Yeah, you go into hospice or palliative care. You stop having care.
Yeah. No, but really with, you take a drink.
Oh yeah. So that's still very controversial in America, in a system.
Here as well. And there has to be some criteria, and then you're allowed to, well, basically commit suicide. That's what they say. But so, so I knew exactly what time she was going to die. And so I went into meditation to be with her in my mind. But I fell asleep. I fell in a very deep sleep. And when I woke up, it was a couple of hours past. And it felt like I'd run a marathon. Mm. And an hour later, I heard her voice. And she said, "I'm here. I'm here. I'm fine. I'm fine." And she said that I had to give a message to her husband. Now, she died that afternoon, and she was full of life. That same evening. And she said one of the dogs, she had a couple of dogs, and right. She said one of the dogs is acting weird. And she said, "That's because the dog can see me and he's following me around in the house." And then her husband texted me that evening that she passed away calmly. I already knew, but I didn't want to bother him. I waited for him to text me. And I said, "I already had contact with her." And I told her the story about the dog. And he said, "That's so right." He said, "I didn't know what was wrong with the dog." So that was really lovely to have her alive and kicking hours after she died. It was really beautiful. But still, I miss her.
Of course.
Because the human side of me wants to hug her and call her. I think we all want to do that.
Of course. Barbara Vandell is our guest today, psychic medium, whose book is called My Most Memorable Psychic Readings and Personal Stories. It's a reader's favorite award winner, and you can find out more and find out how to get readings and more information at barbarathemedium.com, and lots of really interesting stuff on the website too. What you know how to do, is it, in your mind, is it a gift or is it a burden? I mean, if you could turn it off and not have this thing happening and just have a normal life like everybody else, would you?
Never, never. It's a gift. I know the thought that it would be turned off. I think my life would be empty because it's really, it gives so much when you can give so much to people. It's so fulfilling. And no, never. I would never turn it off. Never, ever.
There were a couple of movies. They're not current movies, but that seemed to be pretty close to what it is that you do or what you talk about. One was called The Gift with Cate Blanchett. The other was The Sixth Sense with Bruce Willis and Haley Joel Osment. Are either of those films sort of right on the money to what you do, or is there another way that we could look at it and get a glimpse of what your life is like?
I haven't seen The Gift. Is it worth looking?
I love
Cate
Keanu Reeves. He plays a bad guy and he's good.
Oh, Keanu Reeves. Okay, I'm going to watch.
I hear that a lot from ladies. when I mention Keanu Reeves.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I'm sorry.
That's okay.
And then The Sixth Sense. The first time I saw that movie, it was in a theater, and I thought the director, I think he has a very long name.
Night Shyamalan, yes.
Yes, thank you. I thought he must have spoken to psychic mediums, because some details are so accurate. And I've seen it a million times, and every time near the end, when he's in the car with that other great actress, what's her name? Plays his mother.
Yeah.
She's brilliant. And with the bumblebee necklace, and that he sees that the woman who got killed on the bike. Well, that's exactly how it is. That's exactly how it is. It makes me cry every time, that movie.
So we'll need to go back and rewatch The Sixth Sense and get an inside peek into Barbara Bandel's life. Other family members that you have this gift? Is it something that is hereditary or genetic?
Yeah, it runs in the family. And I have a sister, but she's more down to earth. She's like, don't want to investigate it. I don't want to be bothered by spirits. She leads a normal life, so to say. And my parents, they used to work with an Ouija board long before I was born. And they had all kinds of neighbors every weekend with candles and things. So, yeah, it runs in the family.
Do you do that? Do you do the Ouija board thing?
No. I'm scared of things like that. And my father, at some point, he wanted to stop with the Ouija board, because sometimes they made fun, the spirits, they made fun of the people in the room. And my father had a really bad feeling. And I'm happy he stopped, because you never know who's coming through. You never know who you're inviting. And you don't want that in your house, because they can live in your house forever. You don't want that. You should take that very seriously. So I'm glad they stopped before I was born.
Do you consider yourself a religious person, a spiritual person, when you think about yourself?
I believe in a higher power. I believe in source energy. I believe in that we return, when we die, we return to something, and then we understand everything. And some people call it God or Muhammad, or I think it's all the same. I think we all believe in the same thing, actually. Some people might disagree, but
that's your take on it. And what is your take on when you cross over to the other side and you might lose, you do lose your physical body? Do you also lose, the pains, the sickness? And do you, as a spirit, are you a certain age? I always wonder about that. If, my grandfather lived to be 96, but am I going to connect with my, 96-year-old grandfather, or my grandfather is a young, strapping World War I soldier?
Mm-hmm. Probably the young. Often they show themselves to me when they were at their best. So for a lot of spirits, that is around between 30 and 40, 45, unless, of course, they died young. And I think I would do the same. I would show myself like young, and wouldn't you?
If I had the choice, sure.
Yeah. And you take your personality with you. And yes, you mentioned, are you free from pain? Yes. Some people say, oh, I can dance again. And they dance around my room and show them how good they can do the cha-cha-cha and everything. And they have a lot of humor also. I mentioned that already, but it's true. So I think it's pretty, they have a lot of fun upstairs, a lot of fun.
Sounds like you have a lot of fun downstairs talking to them as well.
Oh, yes, I do.
What is the biggest misconception people have about this? I'm sure that, you know, I'm asking you lots of questions, but people get it totally wrong. So what do people get totally wrong about what you do?
That you should leave people who are diseased alone, that you cannot interrupt or interfere. And that's not true, because when let's say one day you'll die,
right,
let's say over 100 years, you want to be with the people you love who are still on earth. You want to help them. You want to give them, help them wherever you can. So there is no sleep. Of course, they rest, but they want to be where they feel loved, and that's here on earth. So it's only the body we leave behind, but the rest is exactly the same as when we're talking now. When we die, we're the same. You're still that funny, hardworking man, and I'm still having bad hair days.
Your hair is
probably not, but
when you sat down to write this book, because that, you know, writing a book is a tough thing. It's like, I've heard some people say it's like giving birth to a baby, because you really have to sort of peel back the layers of that onion and go back and remember these things. What was your writing process? Was it that? Was it, I'm going to sit down and I'm going to, you know, concentrate and write these stories? Or did they all just come flowing out? Tell me about the process of the book.
Well, I didn't want to write a book. I wanted to write stories so that my great-great-grandchildren, when they live on Mars and they have nothing to do, they can't go outside, that they can read, that they can read who I was.
Sure.
But then my sister said, but Barb, these stories are beautiful. Maybe there's an audience for your stories. And then I thought, yeah, maybe she's right. So I started to write more, and one story led to another story, because we forget a lot of stories. I don't know if that's my memory, but we forget a lot of beautiful things that happened. But one story made me remember another story and another. So that was my writing process. And it's true. It's a real, especially the editing. I think I found the editing the most difficult thing to do. You feel naked. When someone else reads your book, you feel completely naked.
Well, sure. You left it all on, as they say back here in the States, you left it all on the table. You didn't hold anything back.
Exactly.
Do you think there's a second book in you? Because with all these readings, there must be amazing stories.
Oh, yeah. My guys, yesterday they said when you're 57, and I'm almost September 22nd, I'm 56. They said, when you're 57, we'll write another book with you. And I'm like, no, I'm not ready yet. I just finished this one.
You're going to let this one marinate a little bit before you write the next one.
A long time.
Well, you must have been very grateful to win the Reader's Favorite Award. Congratulations on that. That means it's
connected. Thank you so much. Yeah, yeah. Proud as can be.
The book we're talking about is Barbara Bandel's first. It's My Most Memorable Psychic Readings and Personal Stories. She's a psychic medium based in the Netherlands. You've been very gracious with your time. Before you go, though, if someone really wants to do this and they're intrigued by this conversation, maybe they've seen it online, maybe they've listened to the podcast, they want to contact you, they go to your website, and then what happens? How does it work?
I have several readings. So I have a psychic reading when you want to know the future. I have a mediumship reading when you want to have contact with deceased loved ones, or when you want to know who your guides are. And then I have a combination reading with deceased loved ones and talk about your future, all subjects in life. But I also have like a personal soul script, and that talks about describes your past lives, the common thread, why you were born again, what is your soul mission, and all the talents that want to come to the surface in this lifetime, and email readings as well. And the guides are so loving and so soft and careful towards everyone. And there's fun, and it's lovely to experience.
If someone wants to kind of get a handle on what it's like, there's a medium here in the United States who has a TV show on Netflix, Tyler Henry. Is it similar to what you might see if you were to watch that show? Does it work?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I don't know if they edit a lot. I do notice that my guides go really deep into the soul, your soul, because everyone's unique, of course, and then give you tips and tools to, well, have a better life, or the things that bother you, or things you find difficult. They gave like tailor-made tools, especially for you.
Well, you know, we may have to have you back on again and enable a way for folks to send their photos, and you can maybe give them some insights.
That would be lovely.
We'd love to have you back anytime. Barbara Bandel, our guest today, is the author of My Most Memorable Psychic Readings and Personal Stories. And I made it the entire broadcast without asking you for winning lottery numbers, so I feel like I've accomplished something.
Yes.
I'm Great. Sure you're sick of that question.
Yes.
Barbara,
yes.
Thanks for
You're welcome. Thank you so much.
You bet. Thank you to our show sponsor, SpeakerMatch.com, the world's largest online virtual speakers bureau, and our friends at Headline Books for letting us jump into their Zoom Into Books video broadcast. Kathy and Ashley and the whole gang there, we love you. We thank you so much. And thank you for listening to our Big Time Talker podcast. I'm Burke Allen. Go on and make it a great day. Bye, everybody.
Bye.